Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. I know I'm living my cognitive rampage today. I hope you're doing the same thing. However you define that. The cognitive rampage has its own definition to each person and each individual. Join me as we walk down into my book that just came out today. Chapter 8, Rational Self-Analysis. Before, hopefully you watched, like I was saying on a couple live videos, hopefully you went back and watched episode 134. I secretly said that that was my favorite podcast I think I'd ever done. I really revealed myself in that podcast. I came transparent in that one, but you can still watch this one. You can go live. We're coming from chapter 8, Rational Self-Analysis, tonight. But episode 134, if you will, that covers chapters 1 through 7, essentially. So you can watch this one, hang out live, post questions right here at the end of this Cognitive Adams Rampage on chapter 8, Rational Self-Analysis. So, see, that's how you got in that Facebook video, right? You do the intro live. See, you all listen to the podcast, so it's kind of weird, right? It's like you may have watched that live, and now you're listening to the podcast on iTunes. It's days later, and Grace is begging to get in the door, but not tonight. No advertisement to really read to you. I like that part, because the book is out, so I can just tell you that. The book's out. I've had a lot of help from the Tribe of Change and some close friends today, sharing that around, getting a lot of people to notice that it came out. Thank you to everyone that purchased the book, that even just shared the post or shared the love. Thank you. This is kind of my way of kind of saying thank you, even to those that can't afford to possibly buy the book or can't get it, etc. I don't sell anything but my book. That's kind of what I do. So what I'm trying to do is cover and go through the book, right? So eventually, if you do get the book one day, great. It's on Amazon. Have fun. But if you don't, you can follow these and kind of get some basic tips too. I do a lot of free mental training videos is what I call them on social media and on YouTube. So subscribe over at YouTube and you'll see a bunch of those over there too. And I pull from the book anyway. So when I wanted to sit down, I haven't done an Adams Rampage like this. I did 10 episodes. So it's been a while, but I wanted to sit down and go through the book and offer that to people as a way that I can possibly give back for free. Yeah. So walk with me on the podcast. Like I said, chapters 1 through 7 have been covered, but I kind of want to go back to 134 before I go into this, because there's some things I just want to recap with you. So on 134, that episode on the podcast, that's the Principles of Change, where I covered chapters 1 through 7, kind of my intro story. Well, a little bit of detail, right? But not too much and no names, right? So after I get through that, I kind of show you what the outline is in the beginning. That's titled The Journey. But then before I get into my theory, there's a chapter called Competence Creators in there where I point out all kinds of competence creators in all fields of science, right? From biology, DNA, environments, epigenetic influence study, even light therapy, down to gut influence. I cover all of it, right? So what I do is give a 50,000 foot view of all those competence creators that have impacted my life and are changing the world. I'm not a scientist and I don't go deep into it. I kind of want to give you references so you can chase competence, which will make sense later into the book, right? Of why that's important, right? Is to find leads or mentors or where you can find research or competence. But anyway, so when we get through explaining what those are, I go into what the principles are. And those are the other chapters. Four principles of change is what I have. I try to keep it limited. I didn't want to do like 35 principles of change. Like, who the fuck can remember that? You know, so I try to get the most specific, scientifically backed research on the idea of principles of changing when it relates to how you think, how you behave, etc. So I took a lot of those principles of science that have been defined by many great theorists and philosophers and researchers before me, as I quote them, reference them all throughout the book, because we are truly standing on their shoulders. So the principles of change are what I thought I listed importance to is kind of understanding. So as you could follow this one, then you could follow this one, and they all kind of work together. So what I explain on 134 is how you kind of want to keep in mind those principles. And throughout the book, I suggest keep the principles of change in mind here at this point, right? So the first principle of change that we're going to be talking about tonight, because it applies to what RSA affects, the beliefs that you extract, etc. So the core beliefs are very simple, which is you have the core beliefs, which are very three simple beliefs. What do you believe about others? What do you believe about self? And what do you believe about the world? Now, a lot of people don't really know what they believe. Now, if I asked you an opinion, what do you think about other people, et cetera, gave you a specific demographic, you may think this, right? But these are stemming, your thoughts, if you will, are stemming from deeper seated things, right? These are what I reference to as beliefs. I think Dr. Bruce Lipton is someone you can go research, or I reference in the book also, if you want to go deep into the biology of belief and how it's actually connected through science. So talking about the core beliefs are essentially that. what do you believe, right? If when's the last time you asked yourself, what do I believe about me? What do I believe about others? And it may depend on what you experience, right? Whether it's been a shitty day, a bad day, good week, right? What you looked at on Facebook feed, what you watched on some social media or late night show, something like that may be determined, right? But we cover that later. But this is a principle at its base, right? Because I go on to say that I would be naive if I were to think that the only things that affected your lives would be simply the simple principles I talk about. That's why I reference science and many, many other impactful areas of study and competence creators. But so the core beliefs are just that, essentially, because if you can imagine every other belief that you have, doesn't matter whether you like eggplant or the guy next door, right? Whether you don't ride this truck, but you drive this kind of car. All of these small beliefs right here are essentially sprouted from your three core beliefs. Your three core beliefs, again, being what you believe about self, others, and the world. So if you're following along in this podcast that I ask some people to do, or if you're listening to it, always have a pen and paper ready for this or a keyboard or something, right? However you get this words down. So because I'll be asking questions throughout covering this chapter and further episodes when I cover more in the book. So ask yourself that directly, right? We're going to use this later, but write down one sentence, start the sentence with I believe. Just simply write, I believe, blah, 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 about self. That's it. One sentence. Don't get all crazy in some two-sentence semicolon, right? Don't get there, right? Keep it simple. What we're trying to do is extract the core beliefs later. That's what RSA is going to come to do for us. So understanding how core beliefs affect every other belief. Every other belief that you believe to be true is simply what you've accepted to be true about an experience, a moment, etc., right? Now, this is an argument, is not an argument about what we know, maybe say scientifically. That is, you know, the sky is this color. We say it is, it isn't. Sure. You can go further. It can be delusional, but that can be simple reframing. So the idea is really looking at what I call concrete beliefs. Every belief that is sprouted from your core beliefs that you believe to be fact, true, without doubt, without discussion. Imagine how many beliefs you actually have, whether you like this team, whether you like this color, what you believe about this type of day, what do you believe about yourself in this sort of event, right? All kinds of concrete beliefs float above those core beliefs. So all these beliefs, essentially, your core and concrete beliefs, that is principle number one of change, understanding that concept itself, right? What those beliefs are and how they affect us. The second principle to change is what I call the B2B principle. This is beliefs to behaviors. There's a little method here, right? A lot of people tend to think they just feel. I feel like this is a bad day. I'm having a feeling. See, we float around in feelings because we can manipulate our feelings how we choose to think them to be so, given the experience we're having and our beliefs about that experience, etc. Right, so if you can follow that idea, you have a belief based on this core belief that you have, which you most people don't know you're pulling from, right? We just go, oh, I believe this about this, right? These are your concrete beliefs. So your core beliefs, then your concrete beliefs on top create your thoughts. These are where these thoughts come from. So when I say belief, beliefs to thoughts to feelings to behavior. So B to B, that's what it represents. A belief to behavior, right? So what we believe generally creates how we think. How we think then creates and determines, self-inflicted, by the way, how we feel. That feeling can then predict behavior. That's why I start to work into behavioralists later on in the book and talk about some of them as well in the competence creator side. Tons of researchers here that back the behavior up and where the behaviors come from, right? Why do we behave this way? And I walk through it in the book too, that they come from environments. They can be passed down from DNA, what we experience. I'm not this fucking naive. That's all covered in the book. But for simplicity here, the second principle is understanding that a belief creates a thought, creates a feeling, and predicts behavior. That's it, right? So the first concrete belief I'm going to challenge you with real quick is see if you follow with me, which I went on a tangent for a reason. Do you believe there's truth? Do you believe that there is truth in the world? Now, again, I'm not referencing scientific fact, things that we can be proven and turned over again and again and again that can be performed over and over. We're talking science proven, and even sometimes science is wrong. They have calculations that are off many times. So ask yourself again, do you believe there's truth? If your answer is yes, well, then that is something of a concrete belief. Now, if you said no, there's no truth, well, then you may be a little more open to how easy this can be to change how you think. I'm not talking about what you think. What you think is, we'll get into later, but let's talk more on the reframing side. So the B2B principle is the idea that we have a belief that we believe to be fact that creates what we think, that shapes what we feel about how you just answered that question when I asked you if there's no truth or is there truth. But I do would ask, I would see if you can answer one more question for me. Just stay with me. If you ride a roller coaster and you tell me it's not scary, and then I ride the same roller coaster and I tell you it was scary, who's telling the truth? So now you notice truth can all of a sudden have plasticity. Truth can be moved around based on the perception of the individual that's filtered through the beliefs that we have. But where do our beliefs come from? I covered our experiences and many, many other things. So if you can humble yourself to that fact, I see what I did there, whether it's a fact or not, it can be proven. So if you can be humble enough to understand that your beliefs create your thoughts and that you create your feelings, not the other person, not the environment, not they, although the environment does give back. Trust me, I'm not wavering away from the influence of epigenetic, which I happen to biasly believe sometimes can be more influential than DNA, but science is yet to say. So, or may have, we'll see. So the third principle of change I ask you to keep in mind in your entire life through every transition, especially through this book, because the exercise or the practice of it, not being it, but the practice of it, that's what is important here, is the H equals C principle. Humility equals competence. That's what that stands for, right? We can all agree that if we know what we don't know, then we can acquire then what we need to know. But if you don't first admit what you don't know through some sort of practice of humility, then competence does not come, because what you know is competence. What you have experienced becomes competence. So the idea, if we want competence, we need to practice humility. Don't call yourself humble. The sheer act of calling yourself humble is, well, opposite that to begin with. So the idea is it's a practice. There's people that wear robes and live in the mountains and have done so since they were six, still trying to figure out how to not be fully full of themselves. So the understanding that it's a practice, right? It's not something you need to be. It's something you practice. So if you can keep that on the forefront of your mind as a principle to change, that when you are humble, thus becomes competence. And I'll show you later in the book about how when you're humble, it can bring self-competence, aka awareness. And with awareness comes change. So moving on to that fourth and last principle of change, which will come into effect deeper into the book, not much into RSA, but it's called the CCE principle, which essentially means competence equals confidence, and through confidence, we then find the state of enthusiasm. Many people are looking for happiness. I want to be happy. Well, what you're looking for is a subjective moment that you then create feelings for, to then create the subjective notion of the idea of happy. So what you're looking for is something thus is true. You can create it anytime based on what you perceive it to be, especially if we know there's no truth, right? You ride the roller coaster, see? So CCE stands for competence to confidence equals enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, excuse me, is a state of happiness, right? I want you to think about the sport you like to do or something you like to draw. Maybe you paint, maybe you run, whatever that is. How did you get to the state to where you knew that activity, that thought, or that behavior would bring you happiness, joy, before you became enthusiastic? You had to push through. You had to gain the competence, get the experience, so then you could be confident that this activity somehow fed you in an enthusiastic manner. But keep in mind, enthusiasm, attention, what you needed, whatever, can also be negative. But I cover that deeper, probably in RSA too. So that quick recap, the four principles of change, core beliefs and concrete beliefs, B2B principle, H equals C, and CCE. Those are the principles. I referenced those really fast. I told them in a much more story dramatic method on episode 134, but very real. But that's it essentially, right? So keep in mind, as we work in the core and concrete beliefs, right? Those beliefs you have about what you believe about self, others, in the world. Hopefully you wrote those down. So you can look at that. You can look at, I believe, boom, I can believe this, right? When I'm right in front of you. So understanding those two is where we get into the idea of rational versus irrational thinking. This can be confusing to people, but I'll try to simplify it for you like I do in the book as well. So there's a difference between rational and irrational. So we may think something or awfulize something in the future to basically think that we can predict the future. So many times irrational is based on crystal ball thinking. I'm making a statement based on I know what will happen in the future regardless of any sort of impact, giving it 102% chance of definitely happening even though we don't know what happens next. So irrational can be looked at many things like that, right? But there's keywords. It gets kind of fuzzy in there about what that really means, right? So rational is the idea of also not being too positive. You have to keep that in mind, because rational many times gets a negative connotation, like they're not positive, like they're not happy. But here's where you can get in mental trouble. If I want to be irrational or positively irrational, I may say something, I will never lie to anyone. Well, good luck there, buddy. So if you start to set an irrational, the idea of saying the word never, right? So to help you better understand when you may be thinking or saying something irrational, what I talk about in RSA are things called determinate words. Now, these determinate words, I kind of tell you they're red flags, that whatever you just thought is probably irrational. It's probably based in some negative concrete belief, because now you know what beliefs are. This irrational thought that you created is coming from a negative concrete belief based in a core belief of what you believe about self, others, and the world. So it would stem all the way up from that. So understanding concrete beliefs influence what you think in the present, and then look for determinate words. So look at your sentence if you wrote it down. I believe about self, I believe about others, I believe about the world. Do you see any always, nevers, shoulds, woulds, coulds, and every connotation of it, right? Couldn'ts, wouldn'ts, shouldn'ts, can't, or everyone, must. That's my favorite one. I referenced Dr. Albert Ellis, again, the grandfather to me of all things rational versus irrational. Look his book up, A Guide to Rational Living. But what he would say is masturbation. We all tend to masturbate at times, which is, I must be rich, I must be successful, I must be happy, I must have kids, I must, I must, I must, I must. And if you can imagine, right? So the idea of masturbation comes from there. So follow the rest of the words, right? I'll recap them again. Determinant words, always, never, should, would, could, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, can't, everyone, must or masturbation, had to, have to, supposed to, all the time, everywhere, assume, and expected. It's a decent list. But most of them all kind of run together, meaning the same thing. I even write in a book where I think it's funny when you're really emotional about a conversation, these words don't even want to come out. They're like, you always do this to me. Are you never going to change, right? Our body's like, don't even say it. But you're pushing that irrational shit out, right? Like, everyone's doing it to me. Yeah, everybody, bro. There's a lot of people on earth, right? So this is where irrational and rational starts to cross the boundaries. But for simplicity terms, keep in mind the idea of discovering irrational thoughts, right? This is why you write this shit down. Because these thoughts that we begin to excavate, if you will, we have to ride these thoughts down into the true core belief, right? But here, you're starting with your core beliefs like we talked about. What do you believe about you? What do you believe about others? What do you believe about the world? So right there, you're already looking deeper down beyond the dialogue, right? Beyond the dialogue. Reframing comes in the dialogue. It's still powerful. And notice we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to reframe something so we can then recreate how you think. Reframing shapes what you think. That's why you can turn anything to a positive, as people say, but it doesn't last over time, right? It doesn't change how we believe in a long-term or a long-term setting. So the idea is to go beneath the thoughts that we're having, excavate those, rip through all that bullshit, down to what you truly believe about that person, that moment, your past, your history, an event, or especially your core belief, and being able to reframe those to be positive, optimistic, but rational. Remember, again, positive always sounds good. Optimistic, these things are good, but let's be rational here, where I'm never going to lie for the rest of my life. Well, you tell your mother her new hairstyle doesn't look good. I'm not doing it. Right. So we have to be rational. So when I keep in mind rational at the end of that, reframe that sentence, right? But we'll get into the steps of RSA. I just wanted to cover rational versus irrational beliefs. And remember, one of my favorite sayings is the unexamined life is not worth living. So I invite you, examine yourself here. This is a point where you go deeper into what you believe based on your experiences. So at this time, be willing to question any experience you ever had, especially because you know other people rode the same roller coaster you did. And maybe one day when we rolled that roller coaster is not how we feel 10 years from that roller coaster. So keep that truth in mind as you walk into it. Remember the H equals C principle. We got to get self-competent here, and that's going to take the practice of some humility, being willing to question what you believe about your past experiences, everything. Because I know it fucking feels real because you were there, right? Adam, if you were fucking there, you would have felt the pain, the trauma, the anger, the hurt. You would have been there, damn it. And then you would have known that it's real because I believe it to be. This is how serious beliefs can really get. This is how you extract and go deeper beyond those thoughts that people tell you. Just reframe it. Just look at it differently. Try changing how you really fucking believe about a past traumatic experience and tell me just to reframe it. That's what I'm asking you to do, is to be able to reframe that whole idea, what you believe about it, because we'll work through it as we go through the steps of it, right? Reframing is just the surface level of actual belief extraction. You have to get deeper, because how we think, again, is different from what we think. If you can imagine, what you think is what you thought. How you think is what you believe. So we can change what we think, and that becomes wordplay and fluff. That's what I mean by the back of the book, that this isn't wordplay and fluff. It's deep belief extraction, being willing and humble enough to dive down into your own beliefs, to which you experience and you know to be fact, you know to be truth because you were there. This is where the humility principle comes in. Questioning the core beliefs, being humble enough to do so, and recognizing the science behind beliefs to thoughts to feelings to behaviors, so we can get CCE competent to confident to enthusiastic about our own fucking lives. But it's difficult to be enthusiastic about your lives when what you think is based upon negative core beliefs or irrational core beliefs. So what we're doing here is walking in to discover if your core beliefs are rational or irrational. So by writing them down, just like I told you to do, what you're writing down right then is your belief. And now you can dissect that belief. You can look at the idea of, is that a determinate word? Is that optimistic? Is it positive in nature? Do I keep it rational? Right? Am I predicting the future in what I say? Or am I leaving hope, optimism in a belief? So we'll go through the steps of how you actually reframe an RSA as applied. I'm giving you the theoretical ideas behind the and the science behind how this actually operates, right? And when you think for a minute, most people have their favorite ingredient, their favorite meal. When mom's coming over, that first date, you know that meal. Or maybe that meal you like to cook when no one is around. If I ask you to, I don't care if it's a Hot Pocket, right? I don't care if you cook a corn dog good, right? You know how to wrap it up just right in the piece of towel, right? And make it just a little wet on the ends. Maybe I'm revealing things. But outside of that, I want you to think about that ingredient, that thing you love to make and how proud of it you are. If I ask you to make that recipe 10 times in a row, but I need every one of them to taste exactly the same at every bite, no matter what, how much attention would you pay to the ingredients, how you put them in there? How much you tilted in there, how much the heat was set at. You would follow these steps almost repeatedly to make it taste exactly the same as many, many traditional meals do that are handed down, right? We follow grandma's card that was passed down from great grandma's card. So it's following these exact steps. Let me ask you, what are the ingredients to a thought? Think about that. What are the ingredients to the thought themselves? What you think to yourself, what you say out loud. What are the ingredients to those? The words themselves. The words themselves are the ingredients that make up the recipe of the thought that you're experiencing or that you create within your own thought creation. You do it on your own. Why do we then throw the first emotional dialogue and allow that to be truth just because it exercised through our thinking skull? Because of what you've experienced, because of what you believe about the world, others, and self that we can't revisit all the time. So we have to pull from little posts we set along the way to know I don't have to think about what I know about the world. As soon as I see this kind of shit, I know exactly what the world is, and I go on a tangent about how shitty it is. That's how fast we can create thoughts about something because they stem from a much, much deeper concrete belief, a belief based in your past experiences of experiences you refuse not to be true or true or have accepted to be fact. So think about the ingredients. You can't just throw the first bit of dialogue that shows up because you've had some experiences, and especially, again, when you've rolled the roller coaster and I rode it too. So if you can keep that in mind, being able to question truth again, recap those principles of change when you think about this. Think about how meticulous you would have to be putting those ingredients together to make it taste. You'd just be working that shit. I don't know about that. You may even start over if you like sneeze before you're putting some in it, right? You got to be meticulous. What I'm asking you to do is to make yourself a self-experiment. Learn to analyze self, not criticize self. I say that in the book. There's a difference between self-criticism and self-analysis. There's a huge difference, but we live in a world that told you to criticize every customer, every product, every service, and especially your damn self. That's what they've asked you to do. So we become narcissistic critics commenting our experiences on Yelp as if life will change its fucking mind. Like somebody gives a shit. So we got to be cognizant of the ingredients we choose that we allow to create our own thoughts. You have to slow down. You have to slow down, right? People say, I don't want to respond emotionally. At least they're open about that because that emotion is stemming right from what they think, not willing to question what you think. And I would challenge you. Generally, if you ever respond to something, did you catch me? I said ever. That would be irrational. If you typically respond to things or any topic that I would say, and your instant response is, oh, hell no, or hell yes. That's where I ask you to start from. Because when you make a subjective statement that you believe is fact, The punctuation on that is what? An exclamation point or a period. So you're stating a subjective moment, an experience you have to be fact given all across everything. So anything you ever challenge like that, I encourage you to just change the punctuation. Flip a period or exclamation point to a question and remember a kid's favorite question. Why? Be that. Don't lose that curiosity of self. Don't wrap yourself up in a basket of concrete beliefs going, this is who I am. That's the one statement I can't stand. When someone says that this is just who I am, well, what I hear is you're too naive enough or not humble enough to at least question what you believe about yourself, so you've concreted yourself to be, that's who I am. See, the same people also like to say, that's just, it is what it is. Disagree. It is what you make it. It is your ride on the roller coaster that you can choose to use proper dialogue, rational dialogue to implement, to change, and even completely make you forget about experiences. Because we shape what they do for us, we shape what they are. See, it's hard because as human beings, we want to be right. Hell, I wake up and say, today's going to be a shitty day. Well, guess what? I'm going to do things that are shitty because by the end of the day, I want to say, I knew it. I knew it was going to be a shitty day. So we choose that dialogue, right? So understanding we can't be critics of ourselves. You're already trained to be critics of everything else. So look at your influences, marketing, social media. What is influencing you to do? Star this, thumb this up, like this. Right? That's what we're all trained to do. How'd you like the restaurant? On a scale of 1 to 10, would you go there? Right? We scale everything. Well, how are you feeling today? On a 1 to 10, says the doctor. 7? 8? Right? We scale ourselves. The problem is we happen to be experts at self-criticism when we're in moments of transition or in moments of questioning our own beliefs, moments of lack of self-confidence. When we're in those moments, then we tend not to. But we have to be able to question those things. The self-talk matters, right? You have to understand there's a difference between self-criticism and self-analysis. Simply ask why to yourself. When you react an emotional response, you don't have to allow that to go through you, as Leo would tell me. It would be pause. You can pause and investigate. Like I said, you're the scientist of your own experiment in your own mind. I know it sounds crazy, but you got to be willing to get a little crazy to get a little sane sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So question that. Be able to say, well, why? Why do I believe what I just felt to be real? And start changing the dialogue, right? Stop saying, well, I feel, well, I feel, well, I feel. Stop saying, well, I think, because it's easier to take responsibility for what you think. It's easier to relieve responsibility based on what you feel, because then you can say, well, you made me feel this way. Then really accepting the idea that the present is created by the thoughts that we allow to flow through us. Right. So understanding that, man, being aware, being self-aware of the influence. Right? See, that's the environmental influence, the epigenetic influence, right? That you may not see every day, that's browbeaten on you on how to think. Remember, not what to think. Now, a lot of marketing is great. They're basically telling you what to think. Now, a lot of you are smart right there. You can understand when a commercial is lying to you. So you ain't telling me what to think. This is my favorite brand. Or did the other brand just tell you what to think? Shit. So it gets crazy. So you have to understand the thoughts and the belief, that difference. Be willing to question, to exercise, practice the humility, especially on yourself, and be easy on yourself. Again, there's a difference between self-criticism and self-analysis. You have to be willing to become the master of the silver lining. You have to be willing to question the impossible. Otherwise, you're planning your life for the inevitable based on those inevitable beliefs that are rooted in experiences that you believe to be fact, even though you know there is no truth. There is no truth in this physical conscious world. I can't tell you about a spiritual world, or maybe I could, but it would just be me being hypothetical to you. So speaking for now and in the present and in the conscious world where we're at, let's assume there is no truth, that we have the power of plasticity in our human perception to shape whatever experience, any belief that we've had, into what we want it to be. Not just reframe the thought. Reframing the thought is where you have to start, because the beliefs that you have come from repetitive machine gun-like thoughts that then begin to concrete what you believe to be true in fact. So how do we get those beliefs? We're extracting them already. You wrote them down. But now we got to get there and put new ones there the same way the old ones got there, which is by creating experiences, by reframing the beliefs that we have, understanding that we can question our own truth. And that's okay to do. Be humble with yourself and be nice, right? It's the same idea. So go further into RSA. Recap. What do you believe about self? What do you believe about others? What do you believe about the world? One simple sentence. These are your core beliefs. And be willing to question those. Be willing to question those. Because I reference in the book things called early life victories, right? Well, early life victories, we've all had them. You may not even, it may not even point out to you. It may not even be a specific time. It's usually a span of time. More importantly, more influentially, a span of time. So early victories come in all times. When you're 9, when you're 35, when you're 65, right? Life victories are those small life victories that we conquer generally internally that we have externally projected on things around us, right? So maybe you survived an abusive marriage. Maybe you survived an abusive childhood. Maybe you were fired and lost everything. You lost your home. You lost your kids. Maybe everything fell apart. Whatever this is, right? You have to be willing again to question these beliefs, right? So an early life victory is when you got through that. There's some tool, some strategy that you develop, some behavioral, cognitively influenced, environmentally influenced for sure, tool, a coping strategy, whatever that is. You develop that coping strategy because you've been through those traumatic events. You've been through certain things that shaped it. You know what you can say? I came out of that shit alive. You're not going to tell me that this tool doesn't work. See, many times people will even build an environment around themselves that matches the environment that they left behind because their tools work there. Can you see how somebody would do that? This is why many people that are in abusive relationships or abused as young children or teenagers, they end up abusing when they get older. Because our coping skills, our behaviors, our thoughts, our core beliefs were shaped in those epigenetic influence, through those epigenetic influences over a span of time. So when that span of time applies, that's where all that other stuff comes in. That's where you had your early life victory. And then you reframe it. You tell yourself, you concrete it, right? You pour that cement in there when you go, you know what got me through that tough marriage? You know what got me to lose weight? And we believe these things. We say these things based on thoughts, based on our experiences, on the perception we chose to create from that experience. Can you see? Right. But again, I know I was there, Adam. You should have seen it. It was so bloody. It was bad. I was scared for my life. It was terrible. I get it. I get that. But let's just walk on science. We all know human perception changes. So if you can really, really humble yourself to the belief that what you experienced is based on what you perceive, that your truth can be questioned again, your roller coaster ride and mine. But it's funny how we look at other people that exercise that same right to have their experience on the roller coaster. And we say, wow, we don't believe like that. That's just terrible, right? But you can have your own belief about the roller coaster, it seems. That's where concrete beliefs about experiences, people, cultures, experiences, even your past, right on, hands on, can begin to cloud rational thinking, can begin to concrete beliefs about cultures, races, experiences, men, women, children, this state, that state, eggplant. You see what I'm saying? So those experiences shape those, and then we choose to concrete what we do based on how many experiences we keep having. So many times we create the environment that our tools worked in back then because it was so bad and we got out of that. I'm not changing my tools, but guess what? If I put an environment around me where my tools work, if I keep the people around me I'm supposed to, then all my tools work. I look like I'm a fucking genius. And then wondering why I still feel what I felt when I was in the old environment, the abusive environment. Because we create that. Because people are not willing generally to question those early life victories. There's no telling me that this didn't work because it got me out of this jam. Well, that's that subjective. Remember, that's that thing you stated to be fact based on your experience that has a period or exclamation point. And I told you that's where to start. Start there. Question that. Why do I believe this is who I am? Why do I believe that this is what this should be like? See, should is another one of those determinant words. Me and Leo used to call it shooting all over yourself. You may find yourself playing the martyr. You may find yourself being the sacrificer, going, oh man, I shoulda, I could, right? But remember, playing the martyr is still self-serving. You're still wrapping that up because you may believe you deserve whatever it is that you're at, but that's because you believe yourself to deserve it, therefore you do. And then the martyr then delivers a negative reward, a negative reinforcement. But if you can question that, if you can question those early life victories, as that worked then, but I'm open to what can work new now and be willing to change those perceptions, and you can walk forward. You can go through and much faster because remember, emotions are learned. See, we think we just feel, right? But we learn to feel something. Let me ask you, who the fuck said I'm supposed to feel a certain way based on a certain event? Your feelings? Movies? Your parents? Maybe you witnessed a divorce, so that's what you have to feel. Maybe you saw this. You saw someone die. They cried, so you cry. Ask yourself. These are tough questions, but remember, emotions are learned. We learn our emotions, and science has begun to prove this even more so now. We learn our emotions very monkey see, monkey do, based on our past experiences. We're not willing to question the beliefs that we shape because it used to mean survival. See, way back in our ancestors' days, they had to move quick, pattern fucking researchers. Are my dad? Are they coming to get me? Is it a lion? Holy shit. Got to recognize patterns. So we operated on a much more primal foundation. So we still have that in us. So what we do quickly is pull from what we think and what we know, what we believe about others, the world, and self, without visiting that, because we were there, we saw it, and you can't question that. So emotions are self-created. That's principle number two. What you believe creates what you thought, creates what you feel. So if you already are willing to question there's no truth, you understand that what you believe goes deeper, which builds the thoughts on top, and those thoughts you know you created to create your feelings, then you can probably exercise some humility and be willing to get self-competent and apply those first three principles. So maybe we can get competent to get confident, to be enthusiastic about ourselves. Remember, emotions are learned, man. Emotions are learned. So we've covered the punctuation. That's where you start. We've covered determinant words, how we use them, why we use them. We awfulize the outcome. Every man is a lion dog. I'm always going to be alone. I'm never going to be happy. See, these are irrational words. Never, always, all the time. I don't know, 83 something thousand seconds in a day. That's always. That's always. Let's be honest. That's always. But no, it sounds better because you got to awfulize the story by saying, it always happens to me. Does it? Does it always? So can you question yourself on that? So we covered about how easy it is to just flip the punctuation to start there so you can start self-analyzing, not self-criticizing, right? We're making subjective statements that we perceive to be fact based on our experiences. Start fucking there. What do you believe about self? Question that shit right now. Why? Answer that and then question that. Answer that and question that. See, why again is the favorite question. When you can ask why to yourself, we're quick to ask, why would they sell that shit? Why is that person doing that? Why would they wear that? Why do they look like that? We say that self so easily on the outside, but are we willing to turn that around and be humble enough to go, why the fuck do I think like that? Why do I believe like that? And then you can usually find it, as long as they're not connected to early life victories, because we'll build little fortresses around our irrational beliefs, because that holds on to those tools and strategies that we know we survived and we got out. We're not willing to let that shit go, and you got to be humble. Learn to become the master of the silver lining. Learn to change the punctuation and remember what the kids say. Why? Very simple. So RSA is, I'm going to cover kind of a more step-by-step basis of it as I'm dancing around the theory of it to kind of walk you in on it. I want to get to the steps of how I do in the book of how you directly apply RSA, right? So you make it easier. So I'm giving you theoretical implications behind that. Tons of science and tons of research from all sides, like you saw, environment, biology even, because what and how you think, you get adrenal glands start pumping, the blood's going, this affects everything. We understand that, right? You can go deeper there. I'm not the expert there, but I reference those who to listen to in the book. But so to excavate those core and concrete beliefs, we're back to the core beliefs. What do you believe about self? What do you believe about others? And what do you believe about the world? So we can apply RSA not just to our core beliefs. Okay, you can apply RSA to any moment, any time, any person. Let's say you're walking down the street. That asshole neighbor is out front again. You know he's going to start talking shit because your dog pooped in his yard and you were too lazy to pick the shit up. And he's been yelling at you for a month or two. Or that's being transparent in my life. Now, say you're walking down the street and you know he's there. You don't want to stop. I'm not going to stop. Well, what if you pause and instead of engage, you listen to the thoughts that are going through your head? He's such an asshole. He's always doing this. Oh, caught a determinant word. He's never going to fucking change. Oh, he ain't seen nothing yet. Everyone on the block hates him. So we start saying the same things, creating our feelings of, I'm going to beat this dude's butt. That's it. I'm tired. I'm tired of the mouth. Right. So we allow our experiences with this individual because we've had him. You haven't seen him. Right. You're talking to the neighbor. You're like, oh, no. Oh, I know. I know that dude. No, you just haven't seen him yet. Let me tell you about last Tuesday. Right. So they start pulling from those experiences. But what if you catch your own thoughts instead of allowing this dude to have the power somehow to create feelings that you have miraculously, or he's in your mind, or you allow him in your mind. So you catch your own thoughts, examine those thoughts. What am I going to like? Why am I letting this dude bother me? Why do I hate him so much? Why is he so angry? Maybe you might end up making friends with him. But here's a tip. What if you just sprinted 100 yards the other direction? And then you took another walk back. See, people wouldn't think that. Oh, he's going to think I'm crazy. Well, are you? Or are you just leaving the environment? So if you catch your irrational thoughts and they're going off and you think you should feel upset, well, you can snap yourself out of it with behavior. So a lot of cognitive practitioners, they talk to you about the thought influence to the behavior. But I also want to remind you on behavioralist's research is that we can choose a behavior to then modify how we feel the same way. So if you can apply a behavior, you meet that feeling from one side, and then you change the thought meeting it from the other side, what we're doing is then manipulating our feelings based on two sciences, the cognitive sciences and the behavioral sciences. But just remember, before you sprinted, you had to tell yourself to sprint. So which came first? I'm just saying, little argument for my cognitive people. But if we choose that behavior, we can then battle how we feel. First, you got to be humble enough to know, just because you feel it, it doesn't make it fact. Just because you think it, it doesn't make it so. But we want to believe, don't we? Oh, I've been there. I'm not questioning me. Shit. The world's already convinced you to question yourself. Most of this society, like I said, has urged you to question everybody, criticize them, rate them. Think about what you do to yourself eternally, internally. Remember, self-talk matters. How you talk to yourself matters. So in the moment, the first step of RSA is so complicated, it calls you to just pause. Pause in the moment and think, what do I believe about this situation? Why do I believe that about this situation, this moment, this core belief, this concrete belief? It's asking you to pause and think. See, many times in this fast-forwarded world, we think we respond on feelings, on intuition. I like to think that we're responding to our environment based on our past experiences through what we believe that shapes what we behave and more than likely will determine how you feel. So pause. That's it. Why do I feel this? Write it down if you have to. Eventually, you get pretty quick at applying RSA. So your core beliefs, like you've already written down, you're going to need these later, by the way. So look at your core beliefs. Pause for a moment after you wrote them down. This is what I believe. I believe this about the world. I believe this about others. I believe this about self. Look at the sentence that you answered. I believe that. Pause. Write it down. Now here comes the hard part. It's really hard. As you look at it, I'm going to need you to say, why? Why do I believe that? And we're moving to step three, which is what I call the Q&As of RSA. Walk down until you annoy the shit out of yourself. Why do I believe that? I believe that because of this. And listen to yourself irrationalize, as I like to say, and dance around the fact that you rolled the roller coaster that time. And well, it was scary to you and no one's going to tell you different. So simply ask why. See, what you'll eventually do is start repeating sentences. It'll bring you all the way back around to you annoy yourself to you blurt out the first emotional response. I believe you're an asshole. Shit. Well, there it is. That's why sometimes you get worked up emotionally and you just scream out what you really believe. Don't just blame it on you got emotional. You may be telling a fact. So step one, pause, ask what you believe. What do I believe? Two, write it down if you can. Ponder it in your head. Three, apply the RSA Q&As. Why to this? Why to that? Why to this? Why to that? Write it all down. Keep determinate words in mind. If you say one, always should. You just should it on yourself. Remember little things like that because you can work back. The reason you need these in order, because we're going to apply these to the components to change. There are about five components to change that are buried in all types of sciences and research. So what we got to do is excavate what you believe about those things, about those components to change. And we got to write those down and work through it because that'll move you to step four, which is reframing it. Being able to take a humbled look at what you believe based on what you experienced with everything we cover now, and are you willing to reframe that sentence? Are you willing to reframe that the world is full of fucked up people? Are you willing to reframe that this is just who I believe I'll be? Are you willing to question that other people are liars? Are you willing to look at those beliefs and say, are they negative? Are they rational? Are they pessimistic in tone? You have to be able to question it. And you're going to need to apply RSA in a step-by-step, four-step little steps like that. It's really easy. Just kind of write through it to those components to change. But we'll get to those chapters. I want to walk you through the application of RSA and what we're going to do with these core beliefs you wrote down. You're going to need the three core beliefs you wrote down, because the next time I do this podcast, the next time I sit down and do a cognitive rampage out of the book, we're going to cover the chapter of life philosophy and how you make a decision. Most people don't even know what their life philosophy is. And it's not that quote you keep saying from somebody else that ain't your philosophy. You're biting somebody else's, which many times makes it hard to assimilate. So we're going to build a life philosophy. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to teach you how to make decisions when we build it. That's the next chapter. But with these core beliefs, after you've paused, you've questioned those core beliefs to find out what you really believe, you wrote those simple sentences down, you've applied the RSA Q&As through these three sentences, what you believe about the world, others, and self, you've been willing to reframe those beliefs to be rational, optimistic in nature, positive, but remember rational. I will never lie. Watch the determinate words. Watch the irrational goals that you may set for yourself, because this sometimes, well, many times as humans, we do on purpose. That way we have a quick exit to guilt and shame, and we can set ourselves up to get off that fucking road to changing our lives. So watch those beliefs that you set. After you've reframed them, the fifth step is easy. It's what I call it now, a belief sentence. You can take this belief sentence, this thought that you've created, that you've reframed, and then replace it into your core belief, because now you know what you believe. Remember, those three core beliefs seed all of the other beliefs. So you got to sift through those with the RSA Q&A, get down to that core belief, being willing to question. We've done it in reverse. We've started at the top with your core beliefs. We're going to excavate those core beliefs, turn those core beliefs positive, reframe them to be rational. But remember, these beliefs are still based in what you believe. This is you, not me telling you how to do it. Then from those beliefs, we're going to start reframing what we think about other things, nutrition, movement, my past, the people in my life now, new people, mentors. We'll go deeper into that. So we apply RSA to reveal, once we've gone through the five steps, we've reframed it to be rational. But what we did was reframe a core belief, not just reframe some sentence real quickly because it sounds better, because remember, it always sounds good. It's about changing the environment and be willing to change the behavior, but we're doing it the reverse. Deep belief extraction of the core beliefs. So then we can shape new beliefs based on creating new thoughts and, more importantly, shaping new experiences. So when we shape new experiences by doing new behaviors, we then change those feelings. We change our thoughts by doing it from a cognitive standpoint, from the foundations of the core up to what you're thinking, to change how you feel, only to get you to recognize that you control how you feel. That's how you learn to control emotion. That's what you apply RSA to. Now, if you can follow those five steps, you go through it, listen to it a couple times. Just remember the core beliefs, those beliefs. You got to be willing to question them. Remember those principles to change the core beliefs, the B2B principle, the H equals C principle. And later we're going to get into why competence builds confidence, builds enthusiasm. Because when you can become confident, you can be enthusiastic in yourself. But in order to do so, you have to be self-competent. You have to know what you believe about others, the world, and self. When you can get self-competent and reframe that, you can become self-confident to get yourself in an enthusiastic state of mind, to make yourself enthusiastic about your life. Be careful about being passionate about your life. Passion is fleeting, trust me. You may feel the passion, but you have to feed that passion with new experiences and competence, don't you? Passion is like happiness, it's fleeting. To stay in a constant state of enthusiasm or flow, like Stephen Kotler and Jamie Weil talk about, to stay in a constant state of flow, we have to maintain the experience level, change those experience levels, enhance those experience levels, and challenge what you believe. When you can do those things, you can change anything. That's a superpower, if you ask me. If you really fucking think about it, the fucking grizzly bear and dolphin, as we know, can't even go, you know what? I'm going to change the perception of my environment of this. They don't have this power. We're able to do so. That gives us our imagination, people. That's what makes us special, is we can reframe perception. There's power in the plasticity of human perception. When you can tap into that, use RSA to excavate yourself, what you truly believe, when you can accept that you create how you feel, then you can change anything. You can help anyone. You can really make a difference. And all that change is based in real psychology, real behavioral influences, real genetic influences even, biology influences. RSA is a simple five-step tool to get you to process, to stop, to be able to reframe how you think, not just what you think. You do shape what you think, but then when you reinforce what you think, they have this notion they call automatic thoughts. This has a negative connotation. You just have these automatic thoughts, but when you can begin to excavate what you believe, become aware, the awareness brings change. So when we can be aware of what we believe, we can harness that belief, change it to be what we want it to be, and shape it to be an experience that creates an enthusiastic state of who the hell we are. We choose it. Hope that's a good recap of the RSA. Maybe that helped. I promised I'd take some questions at the end. If anyone's posting them up on the about, oh man, I'm spent. I tell you what, sometimes when you ask to do the questions at the end, you're like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. You kind of feel it go through you, if you will. Let's see, getting deep. Ooh, 15. I don't know if I'm able to get to all those, man. I feel like I'm just drained, man. But, you know, if you have any questions, I'll tell you, do it like this. You're listening to the podcast anyway. You're not a live person anyway. So, well, you're a live person, but not a live listen person, right? Don't take that wrong. It's your perception if you chose it that way, because I didn't mean it that way. So you created your own truth there. So after that, if there's something you're listening to and you can't just back it up 30 seconds, 15 seconds, shoot me an email. I'll get to you quick. But again, this was just chapter 8. You know, episode 134, as I said, was chapters 1 through 7. Where I really covered those belief principles that I covered pretty quickly tonight, the quick as I could, especially for those that were just listening. This moves into just chapter 8, rational self-analysis, the first tool of change. The next time I sit down to do one of these, it will be the next chapter, chapter 9, your life philosophy. So until then, I'd ask you, what is your life philosophy? And maybe you apply RSA to your life philosophy before I sit down and make this next episode. Because what you just did tonight, when you applied RSA to your core beliefs, what you believe about self, others, and the world, you applied RSA to them and then you reframe them. Well, what you just did was create the first three sentences to your life's philosophy. So I want you to read aloud to yourself the three sentences after you've applied RSA to them to make them rational, optimistic, and positive in nature. Read to me what you believe. Now, after you hear what you believe, I want you to reframe that sentence very simply by adding one word to the beginning. Remember. Now read those three sentences to me with the word remember in the front, as if you're giving yourself advice. Because when you listen to your thoughts, if you don't follow your own philosophy, well, then you're ignoring yourself. At least you know what's on you. So what you've started is your life philosophy by the end of this episode. Remember to believe this about self. Remember to believe this about the world. Remember to believe this about others. Apply RSA to that even further. Is it rational? Is it optimistic? And does it help my life? When you can excavate those beliefs and be willing and humble enough to question those, you can find that state. That's the beginning to your life philosophy. You got one now. Remember those three sentences. We'll sit down and I'll show you how to finish what I call your life philosophy foundation, which is going to change how you make decisions, not pros and cons lists. And not calling that friend, it'll be on you. That way we avoid guilt and shame. That's a difficult one to avoid. I appreciate you sticking with me when I haven't went live in an Adam's Rampage for, I don't know, it was 10 episodes, which is probably about 10 weeks, something like that. But if it's tough for you, if you feel like you're sitting in a location that's just too tough or too hard, remember, you're choosing how you feel. You can change what you think, but first you got to know what you believe. And if you're willing to question what you believe, then you can question the impossible. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. Love you.